So, you know, how much more should we realize that as we are the people of God, the Christian church? And I pray that you're finding out each and every day how much more you need God as you walk with Him. Amen. I know whenever I first started this relationship with Jesus, you know, I thought He was there to help me. But I find out He is everything to me. I can't do not one thing without Him. Today we're going to be talking about this boldness. And where does our boldness really come from? Where does it need to come from? You know, a lot of times we would say, well, that person, they have a general spirit of boldness. You know, they're a really bold person. And so we think somehow or another this boldness is just a personality. But, you know, today in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, it talks about a boldness that we should have to be able to approach the throne of grace. And this is the kind of boldness that we need, and we need to know where it comes from. And ultimately, this boldness doesn't come from me feeling like that I'm good enough to approach the throne of God, because ultimately that's the throne of grace we're talking about. I want us to know, guys, we are all sinners. Do I get an amen to that? Sin can't even come into the presence of a holy God. And so whenever we realize those two truth statements, we've got to understand something's going to have to happen before we're going to be able to come before that throne. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to kind of work this one backwards. Usually I start on the first verse and go to the last verse. But today we're going to start at the last verse of this little collection of verses here. And so let's look at an often quoted verse with the first slide there. And this is verse 16. Let's read it together. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so this is an important statement that's being made here. But we notice this little word. It's the third word of that sentence there. Let's say it together. Therefore. We better figure out what the therefore is there for, right? And anytime you see that word in a verse or in a statement that's made in the Bible, we better be figuring out what it's there for. And so we're going to back up to that verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Do you notice high priest is capitalized? Not just a position, not just a description, but this is speaking of Jesus himself. He is the high priest. It's one of his names. He is the high priest who passed through the heavens. You see, this high priest is different than every other high priest that ever existed. In fact, he is Jesus, the Son of God. That's where our boldness comes from. Our boldness comes from the fact that the Son of God himself has come as the high priest to reconcile man to God. And you know what? After he was done here on earth, he said on that cross, it is finished. He had fulfilled what he came to do. He was buried in a tomb. And what happened on the third day, church? He rose again. Amen. We have an empty tomb. What happened 40 days after that? He went back to heaven. They stood there and watched. His disciples watched as he went back into heaven. And the angels proclaimed to them in the first part of the book of Acts, you know, in the same way he left, in like manner, he will come back someday. We are expecting the return of Christ any day. And so we need to be in a place where we are walking with him and understanding that he is our high priest. He passed through the heavens. He walked on earth, and he is back in heaven today, making intercession for us every day. That's our boldness, to go before the throne of grace through a relationship. Jesus Christ is the only way. And so, therefore, let us hold fast our confession. I'm going to say, if you try to go before that throne in your own merit, because of your own good works, because of something you feel like you've done for God to pay your way there, it will be utterly despised. And it will have no effect. And you know, we know that God is omnipresent. We know he knows, he's omniscient. He knows everything. And I know he hears everything that's uttered. But I'm going to tell you something. He isn't going to hear your prayer in the same way that he's going to hear it if you come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to hold fast to that confession of our faith. If you have confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is your only hope. It is your only boldness when you think of going to that throne of grace. And so let's explore this idea of a high priest. He's the high priest, and there was another high priest that was according to the law, and this one had to be a descendant of Aaron. It was the only one allowed in the Holy of Holies, and it only happened once a year on Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. That's what that phrase means there, the Day of Atonement. And the thing about that high priest is that high priest was a sinner just like we are. And so that high priest, actually, it was prescribed in the law how he was to make atonement for himself before he ever went before the Lord in the Holy of Holies. He presented the sacrifice for all of Israel's sin whenever he went in there. And remember, he was a sinner himself. Well, let's talk about Jesus as our high priest. Oh, man. You know what? He's the God who created Aaron. He didn't have to ask for permission to be the high priest. He is the Word who spoke to Moses, amen, from the burning bush. This is our Jesus. This is our high priest. He's the Son of Man, born in the line of Judah. I want you to understand, he's not born of Aaron, right? Do we notice that? So really, by the law, he wouldn't be qualified to be the high priest. Does Jesus have to ask permission from the law? No, he made the law. He knew the law. And he's even higher than the law. He is amazing. He made the law so that we would see that those other high priests were all flawed. They really couldn't save us. Amen? We were going to need one that was unique and unlike any other. He is morally perfect. When we talk about our high priest being Jesus, I want you to understand, he can not only go before that throne, he sits at the right hand of the Father at the throne. He is on the throne. He is the one. He's the only sacrifice for sin that's acceptable and can be effective. And he is now intercessor and mediator before the Father for us. That's our high priest, Jesus. Which high priest do you want? You want the one from the law? Or do you want Jesus? Because I'm going to say, Jesus is the only one who can truly save us. He's the only one who can really take our prayer request to the throne of grace. And I can tell you one thing, the Father isn't going to tell his Son no. Jesus is going to present our requests according to his will, and it's going to be perfect whenever it is brought to that throne of grace. I think it's just amazing as we see that this sinless high priest is the one that we are able to therefore have boldness because of. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, right? Have you guys ever been tempted? What'd you do whenever you were tempted oftentimes? Give in? Fall? Sin? We try to resist, and hopefully you're successful sometimes. You know, the only time you really are successful is when we're really relying on strength from God and that relationship. But you know, nonetheless, he was tempted in all points, just as we are. And I love this last part. Yet, let's say it together, without sin. That is the key to the gospel right there. You know, I used to think, everybody says, well, Jesus is the only way. And, you know, I walked without Christ for many years trying to put it together and trying to figure it out. And I'm thinking, why? You know, everybody dies at some point, right? Everybody is slated to die at some point. Will you die someday? Unless Jesus comes back first, yes, you're going to die. You're going to die an earthly death, just like everyone else. And I'm thinking, so what is so unique about the death of Christ? I'll tell you what. I'm glad you asked. It's because we deserve death. It says the wages of sin is death. We earn it because of our sin. But since Jesus is sinless, he didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. And that way, when he gave his life, it was willingly to pay for our sins. He could actually be the sacrifice. He could be the one to go to the cross and take our place. You see, when John Jones dies, it's because I deserve it. I can't pay for any of your sins. I'm paying for my own, ultimately, would be. But you see, since Christ didn't owe that debt, he could pay for John. He could pay for Steve. He could pay for Mandy. He could pay for David. He could pay for all of us. And he did. And for all who receive him, all who believe in his name, for all who confess Jesus is Lord, praise God, our sins are paid for. Isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, it's just like beyond my mind. It's not natural. It's supernatural. You know, I was witnessing to a guy who came for some free stuff yesterday, and he really didn't even get very much free stuff. He said, you know what? I don't even know why I'm here. I need to be bringing stuff over here, you know? But he came, and I'll tell you why he came, so that we could encourage one another. And so I went up talking to him for a few minutes, and was talking about the uniqueness of the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. Man, what better thing to talk about? And he said, man, isn't it amazing? He said, would you give your son to die for me? He said, I know I wouldn't give my son to die for you, buddy. But God was so rich in mercy that he gave his son to die for us. Isn't that an amazing thought? Let us never get used to it. Let us never get over it. And let us always remember it's our only hope. Yeah, you know, I think in some ways, because we don't have a king, we may have kind of forgotten about and not kind of missed out on the richness of this whole throne thing. Do you realize if somebody came before a throne and they weren't invited, they weren't accepted, just an earthly king's throne, their head would probably be lopped off. If that king didn't, you know, even Esther was married to the king. Read the book of Esther. And you know what? Whenever she was asked to go to the king and say, hey, you know what? I'm a Jew. And whenever you went along with this whole law thing that got passed, it means all of our people are going to be destroyed. And she said, unless he invites me, I could lose my life. That's the John Jones paraphrase version. That's what she was saying. So she said, pray and fast for me and have all the people fast for me and pray for me. And then after 3 days, I'll go. Because she knew that even her husband, being the king, if she wasn't invited and accepted, that she would lose her life. That's the atmosphere we're talking about. And God is even a greater king than them. You see, that's why the therefore is there, guys. That is why we can approach that throne, is because of Jesus and him alone. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That don't mean proudly. It don't mean because of all my great accomplishments or because of who I am. Boldly just means that you would even come at all. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So we're gonna explore that throne just a little bit before we end the sermon today. But I really want you to think about this from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Well, actually 1 through 7. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2, he covered his face. With 2, he covered his feet. And with 2, he flew. Why did he cover his face and his feet, these seraphim? Humility, because God is holy, folks. He didn't even feel, even the angels that are ministering before the throne of God didn't feel worthy to be in his presence. He is so awesome and so holy. He just overpowers the atmosphere because of his awesomeness. And one cried to another, listen to what they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Let's say it together. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. The smoke is representing his glory, is making it overpowered with who he is, to where, like, you almost can't exist in his presence. You see, it goes on in verses 5 through 7 as well. So I said, and this is the proper response, and I think this is how we would all feel in his presence. This is what Isaiah the prophet says. And I would not consider myself to be higher than Isaiah the prophet. Amen? Anybody in here think that you're higher than Isaiah the prophet? He was much higher than me in his relationship to the Lord. I think he was, in a sense, walking with the Lord. He was having this vision. Amen? Listen to what he says. Woe is me, for I am undone. Let's say that together. Woe is me, for I am undone. I think that that's the only proper response. Amen? Listen to what he says. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Could we say that about ourselves? Even more so today. Amen? For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, the one of the seraphim. And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Guys, for us to approach the throne of grace, I want us to understand something. Our iniquity has to be taken away. Our sin has to be atoned for. And there is only one way for that to happen, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. Have you received Jesus? Because if you haven't, your prayers are not heard in the same way. If you haven't, then you need to. If the Lord's moving you, don't waste another moment. You don't have to be in a particular posture. You don't have to be in a particular place. Your heart just needs to be humble before God. You need to be broken over your sin, and you need to turn your life over to Christ if you believe he is the Lord. That means boss. That means king. That means the one who needs to be over me. Have you turned your life over to Christ? Do you believe he died on the cross for you? Do you believe he was raised on the third day? Do you believe he went back to heaven, is making intercession for you? Then I pray that you will turn your life over to him as well. You see, guys, we need to look at this throne from another perspective as well. How about the throne that we see in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11? Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Guys, that's the throne we're talking about. Whenever we approach that throne that's of grace to those who are in Christ, if you're not in Christ, it's a throne of judgment. It is a throne of power. It is always a throne of majesty. And when we're right with Christ, we can approach through Jesus. You remember what Jesus said? He said, anything you pray in my name. What does that mean? A good tag at the end of the prayer? No, it means through Christ. He is there, and he will give us access, and it's only through him. And whenever we look, I'm gonna end with two more passages here. One from James chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. Only a righteous man can approach this throne. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. And listen to this. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. How many of us are independently righteous in this place today? If you think you're righteous because of your good works, raise your hand. I know. You're thinking, he's trying to trick me. No, I think we just all instinctively know we're not. God's shown us we're not. We're not righteous on our own. But we know Christ is righteous. Amen? And if the righteousness of Christ is covering you, you can now approach the throne. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus is that righteous man. Luke chapter 23, verses 46 through 47. And when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. He is the righteous man. Come through Christ, and your prayer will avail much. Come by yourself. Come with sin locked up in your heart that's not been atoned for or repented of, and it won't even be heard by God. You need to come through Christ. That's your boldness. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, help me to remember it's only through Jesus that I can approach your throne. Lord, thank you for revealing this to us, and I pray that every man and woman and even the children in our room will realize their need for you. Father, please move among us. Holy Spirit, please reveal to us. Jesus, save us. Thank you, Lord. You have done the work of salvation on the cross. Now I pray that you will complete that work of revealing in our hearts. Lord, no one can be saved unless you call. So I'm praying that you do the calling in the heart, and we would receive you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.